singing. I hope that song is an encouragement to us this month, and great words, great reminders, great truths. The children can be dismissed at this time to junior church if they would like, and I'd encourage those of us who are staying here, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 19 this morning. This is probably a familiar psalm to a number of us. To some of us, this might be one of the first times reading through this wonderful psalm. We're going to actually focus this morning just on verses 7 through 11. As we come back to this focus on loving God and loving others biblically, we have been going through a number of areas and focuses as we've gone through this study. We've talked about loving God and loving others through biblical meditation, how we read God's Word, how we apply it to our lives, and we will probably come back to that focus throughout the rest of this year. We've talked about prayer, how we pray biblically, and how through prayer, and that really prayer, we'll probably have some soon about that because communication happens through prayer. As we pray to our Father, we pray for one another, that also can be absorbed into this reality of biblical communication. We talked about biblical discernment and biblical worship, and this morning we come to biblical communication, and I'm, Lord willing, as the Spirit leads, we'll be talking through, studying through what God's Word has to say about not just communicating well, but communicating well biblically. How does God call us to talk to one another, to communicate well for His glory, to show His love and grace and truth to others in the way that we communicate? And then hopefully after this, we will, as we spend some Sundays here, we will also go on to biblical generosity and discipleship. But we'll see how the Lord leads as we go through. And also, I always keep those plus signs at the end because I know there will be others that we'll probably come to along the way. And so none of these is really an isolation from one another either. All of these really merge together as we think of the glory of God. But this morning, as we come to God's Word, to Psalm 19, we'd like to focus on our foundation for biblical communication. And we're going to look at Psalm 19, and we're going to see, what is the foundation? What is our basis for how we can know how to communicate well for the glory of God, to be biblical in the way that we communicate? Let's start in verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 14, and then we will have a word of prayer, and we'll begin walking through this passage and making some observations and application that I believe the Spirit has for us in regards to the way we communicate. Verse 7 begins with, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord or statutes of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let's ask our rock and our redeemer to give us grace and mercy in understanding his word today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us a firm foundation through your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have made your desires, your will clear to us as your children. And as we come to your word this morning, I pray that your word will be very precious to us, very clear to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Father, will work in our lives to open our hearts, to be willing to obey and to understand how you want us to obey. Thank you for everyone who's here this morning. I pray that you will help us as some of us have had very difficult weeks and a difficult beginning even to the year. I pray, Father, that you will help us to trust you and to see the hope that your word gives us today. I pray for those of us who have had a wonderful start to the year, and those of us who have seen your blessing in different ways, and maybe we haven't gone through the valleys or the trials, but we know that they are coming one day. But we praise you, Lord, for how you protect us and how you provide for us. I pray that this morning your word will be precious to those who have seen your blessing, and we will give you praise and glory as we study your word together. I pray whatever our needs are spiritually today, I pray that they would be met through your word, and that however your spirit calls us to obey, we will submit, we will yield, we will have your blessing as we obey and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Verse 14 is one that is a great verse to ask God to help you with as you begin your day, or even as you end your day and prepare for the next, or even in the middle of the day. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. You know, the words that we say, if we really communicate biblically, is the words that we tell people about Jesus always going to be acceptable in their sight? No, sadly not. But if we're communicating the way God calls us to and we're acceptable in his sight, then we have peace and rest as we share, because really God's opinion at the end of the day is what matters most, correct? So we want to know his truth. And this verse is at the very end of a psalm that focuses on the revelation of God. And specifically from verses 7 through verse 11 on the word of God, his special revelation. The big idea that we want to walk away with this morning is really probably an easy concept for us to understand. Oh, I went back the wrong way. But here's the big idea we could walk away with this morning is this. God's word, the Bible. His word, the Bible, is the foundation for loving him and loving others through biblical communication. It's really the foundation for why we exist. If you remember back to this blueprint for God's church and even God's Christian that we have gone to often, we understand that the foundation for what we how we live, how we know how to worship, how we know how to grow in Christ, and really how we know how to live for the glory of God by loving God and loving others is God's word. So it's really no surprise, is it, that God's word is our foundation for how we know how to communicate well and biblically for the glory of God. As we come back to Psalm 19, this psalm is really divided into several sections. You could divide it, I should say, into several sections. The first six verses, which we didn't read, talk about and focus on the glory of God and how he reveals his power and authority through what he's made in creation. It talks about God creating the heavens and the stars. And if you look at verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. And it goes on to talk about how the sun and the other stars that God has made are rejoice and show us the glory of God. But then David, who we believe wrote this psalm, transitions to talk about how God's glory is also and even greater displayed through his word, through his special revelation of his scriptures to us. And we will take time this morning to walk through verses 7 through 11 and see how they are our foundation for how we can know what is acceptable as we talk to God, what is acceptable to God in the way that we communicate, in our hearts even, what we meditate on. And we'll look also at some passages of scripture that talk about how we see the connection in verse 14, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. God says much about what we say is connected with our heart and really begins in our hearts. And so we want to have a heart that has meditations in it that are pleasing to God. How do we do that? Well, God's word shows us how. So that's what we want to look at together this morning. And as we come to the third section of this psalm, verses 12 through 14, really are the response of David, or a worshiper of God, a response to God, to his glory and to his righteous word, and asking God for help so that we will live a life that communicates well the glory of God. Before we jump into looking at several reasons why God's word must be our foundation, I just want to talk about briefly about communication. And how do we communicate? You ever think about that? How do we as human beings, what ways has God given us to communicate? Well, many, if you went to speech class, remember, we're not trying to have a speech class here, okay? So please don't fall asleep on that. I did not really appreciate speech class because I didn't like being up in front of people. So I actually loved the lectures when the professor was speaking. And then he said, okay, now we're going to call on you to give your speech. I'm like, oh, I dreaded that moment. So this isn't trying to be a speech class. But as we think of communication, how do we communicate? Well, If we were to boil it down, to make it very simple, we could say that we communicate, God has given us our bodies in a way that we could communicate both verbally and non-verbally. We understand that verbally we communicate through words, both spoken words and written words. Some would say that could be maybe a third category, but I'm going to lump it in here with verbal. It was a blessing. Every Sunday is a blessing. Every time we gather together, it's a blessing to see our church family communicating. So you're talking about how they're praying for one another, greeting one another, rejoicing in answered prayer, just being together. Even as we sing praise to God, we're communicating verbally our praise to the Lord. It's easy many times to communicate well verbally on Sunday morning. But how is it when we go outside these, really, this almost this greenhouse of spiritual love and care for one another, and we go into a world, or we go into our own homes, or we go to our work situations, where now the rubber really has to meet the road when we talk about, do we love God and love others, right? And we should see this reflected well in the church, but also as the church goes out. So our words, spoken and written, how do we use words to communicate? Well, there's different ways that we use words. We have questions. And then with a question, hopefully comes an answer. Has anyone asked you a question and you've answered in a way that wasn't loving? Oh, yeah. Happens to me. I have to guard my heart. Can we do this? Of course not. Oops. Now I just communicated that I think they're not thinking through the question. There's a lot of ways. And even as we saw in James 3, our tongue, it's a small member of our body, but oh, it can do a lot of blessing, but oh, can do a lot of harm. And these days, I wonder if James was alive when we had texting and stuff, but he could say our thumbs too, right? Our thumbs can do a lot of damage because they reveal what's in our heart. Or maybe we don't even come across clearly. I've been learning more and more how often I need to do all I can to have an in-person or on-the-phone conversation rather than trying to send an email or a text, because it can just be come across the wrong way, or you can even actually put across what you meant, and it's not good. We have to be careful. Questions, answers, commands, repetition. Boys, I've told you again for the third time. Not unless you're talking about my boys. I don't have to say that often to them. My dad would have to, my mom at times growing up, there came a point where when we got to those teenage years, and I had two brothers and a sister, and there were times my mom had to say, what did I just tell you to do before I even went off? Communicate it to me. Okay, Mom, you said I need to go upstairs. I need to get this particular magazine you want. I need to bring it back down to you. Because a lot of times I would run upstairs and I get in the rest of life. Sometimes repetition is important, but even maybe when we repeat things, we have to be careful how we do that. So we understand that as we communicate, tone, emotions, persuasion, we could even put in there maybe manipulation. Our words can be used to bless and to curse. We understand that. And so how do we do it in a way that glorifies God? That's what we want to focus on this morning. But you know, there's a lot of other nonverbal communication, isn't there? In fact, we could even say that many times we may communicate even more sometimes through the ways are not our words. For instance, maybe facial expressions or eye contact, or as often I got in trouble with, eye rolling. I had eye contact and all of a sudden the eyeballs went up and over and down. What do I communicate many times? I thought I knew better. I just thought this was a waste of my time. Our gestures, body movement, our posture, folding the hands, slouching, whatever it might be, touching, even the way we communicate through touch, instead of hugging, shoving, we can communicate a lot of wrong ways. We can use these in a lot of wonderful ways. And this is the challenge for us. God has given us our minds, our hearts, our bodies to use for His glory, because our body, when we come to Christ, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He says, so go forward, be light. But often we have to remind ourselves, and Scripture reminds us, that don't let the darkness impact you. Don't let darkness come through your communication. And so it's a much loaded statement. We're not going to get into all this today. We're going to hopefully, as we go through James and other passages, talk more about this. But a couple questions as we begin, coming back to Psalm 19. Consider this question to your own heart. Think of this morning. Think of this past week. Do we communicate well with one another? Do you communicate well? Maybe some of us really struggle. Some people don't struggle with communication as well. They just maybe have that talent, that ability to really kind of have no stranger, as some might say. They're just friends with everybody. They have a way of communicating. Some of us may struggle in that way. That's okay. God knows that. But even if we feel like we don't struggle with communication or whether we do struggle, God's word still has to be our foundation. How have you done this past week? How have you done this year? Does God care about how we communicate with one another? I hope we all say yes. We know that. And the reason we know is because he makes it abundantly clear throughout his word that it does matter to him how we communicate. So that's what we want to look at this morning. God's word makes it abundantly clear when we talk about communication that both our mouth, the words that come out of our mouth and our heart actually communicate together. We see even in verse 14, David doesn't just say, now let the words of my mouth be acceptable. He says, but the meditations of my heart as well. Both. Because both are interwoven. Both are part of this communication. I want to look at a couple verses that make that clear. There's many passages. And for sake of time, we don't want to spend time. I just want to read these briefly. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. If you maybe want to jot these down, that's fine to read later. But here's Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here he's challenging the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. They say one thing, but they do another. Or they do one thing, but they say another. He says, you're hypocrites in other passages. In this same section in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he says, the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Matthew 15, Jesus goes on to say, he really does care how we talk and how we communicate because that shows our heart. Matthew 15, verse 18 through 20, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. We can say it begins in the heart and it comes out of the mouth, and this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart, notice he doesn't say the tongue like James does here, he even goes closer to the heart, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. In this context, Jesus was kind of holding the Pharisees accountable because they're saying, why don't your disciples wash their hands and purify themselves like all the law says all the time? He says, you know what? God's worried about your heart. Because you can go through all those outward motions. Your heart can be far from God. That doesn't mean that our outward emotions don't, our actions don't matter, but it's the heart. Maybe you know someone who has said all the right things. It sounds so good, but sadly you find later their heart was far from what they meant. They were lying. Jesus was holding the Pharisees, but also challenging us with this reality. You realize, as verse 19, he gives a list, not exhaustive, but a list of some terrible sins. And he says, you know, this didn't just happen one day. Someone just spoke something and murdered somebody. There was murder already in their heart. Someone doesn't just go and have a sexual affair with someone else. There's already temptation in their heart that they've yielded to that causes the outward actions. Notice even these actions are not even words, a lot of them. They're actions. He says our actions, our words, they all find their beginning in the hearts. Proverbs chapter 15, just a couple more, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Notice here that even before this person who is a righteous person, before they talk, they're already in their heart trying to imagine and ponder, how am I going to answer or say this correctly in a way that glorifies God? That's how we want to be. And that's how God's words encourage us. Just a couple more real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth. Now, rash here means don't just shoot from the lip. Any of you guilty of that? I tend to be at times. Sometimes guys can be said, we say things before we even think of them. That happens to me so many times. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven. You are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Last one I would read this morning on this thought of heart and mouth and how they're connected is Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. And this is a very powerful passage. We don't have time to go there. We may go there another Sunday. But in this context, God is just telling them, I'm giving you my word. He's talking to the people of Israel, and they're about to enter into the promised land. And he says, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my commandments. If you obey my word, you'll be blessed. But if you disobey my word, You'll be punished. I mean, he makes it very clear for his people. And he says, and don't go and say that, oh, the words are far away. They're up in heaven. We can't see them. Or don't say the words are far across the seas. I can't know them. He says in verse 14, no, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Moses had read the word of God to people, and he told them to memorize it. Let the words of God reign in your hearts and in your mouths so that you will do what he's called you to do. This seems very similar to what James says, doesn't he? Don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. So God is very concerned about that. And I would just say this verse does pop up as well in Romans chapter 10 when it talks about our salvation. I think my battery might be going on here, Ben. Would you mind? Oh, there we go. We got it. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? What does the word say? And he quotes this verse we just read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. What does the word say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Brothers and sisters, our mouths and our hearts are involved in our salvation. The words that we say, the way we convey through our actions and communication, reveal the heart that truly believes in Christ. So as we come back to Psalm 19, look at Psalm 19, verse 14. We see, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, we see our mouth and our heart connected here. But David goes on to say, let the words, notice what the mouth does. It utters words, but the heart meditates. And he says, well, both of these, the words that come out of my mouth, the meditation, the things my heart is pondering, may they be acceptable in your sight. So very briefly this morning, as we think of this big idea that God's word needs to be the foundation for loving him and loving others through communication, we want to come back to Psalm 19. We're going to look at these verses in 7, verse 7 down through 14. We're going to very briefly look at six reasons why. Six reasons why God's word must be the foundation for Christian communication, for biblical Christian communication. And I hope that as we go through God's word this morning, it will just give you a greater desire to know his word, a greater desire to read his word and let his word be in control of your life as his spirit teaches you his word and me his word. First of all, one reason why God's word must be our foundation for life is because God's word is blameless in its communication. You come back to Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That word perfect carries the idea of without anything wrong. It's blameless. The word of the Lord is blameless. It is perfect in what it communicates and how it communicates. And it is a perfect reviver for the soul. He says in verse 7, reviving the soul. God's word is given to us to show us what blameless communication looks like as God communicates his truth to us, and then we let it change the way we live. We need to read God's word because it teaches us how to be blameless as we communicate with others. Wouldn't you love to say, oh, I had a day where I was blameless in my communication today? Wonderful. Now, I want to be careful. God's word does not teach that we'll never struggle with sin. Don't be careful with this. It never teaches that, oh, there will come a day when Pastor Sam will never struggle and he will always have perfect speech. No, not this side of heaven. One day there will be. I praise God for that. One day the sin nature within me will be totally gone. But until that day, we're going to struggle. All of us will struggle to have communication. That's why God gives us his word, his guide, his help, to show us what blameless communication looks like. We see, secondly, that God's word in verse 7, the last part, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word here, sure, is the idea of a firm, faithful step that you can stand on. I remember we would go to camp sometimes or go fishing, and one time we went fishing, and this dock that we were walking out upon, it was very small, but it was nice to fish off of. But when you'd walk on it, it was like a little rickety. And sometimes if you weren't careful, if you put your tackle box too close to the edge and then someone walked a little way or you had your worms there, all it took was a little bit if you weren't careful. It was not very sure. It was not very strong and still a great fishing spot. And I don't know if it's probably not standing anymore unless they fixed it. But it was not the greatest place to fish, except that the fish were there, so it was a good spot. What this psalm is saying is God's word is not rickety. When God gives you his word, it is sure. It is strong. You can put your life upon it, and it will not let you down. It is faithful. And so here is why we need to let God's word be the foundation. Another reason, not only is it blameless in its communication, but God's word is faithful in its communication. It goes on to say that it makes wise the simple. So God's word, because it is faithful to give wisdom to those who listen and obey its message. Boy, David sure knew this in his life, did he not? When he obeyed what God told him to do, man, his paths were made straight. He would even say later, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It guides me. But David knew what it was as well when he ignored what God's word said. He himself fell into sin and several times in his life, significant sins that had great, terrible consequences. But as God said, David was a man after his own heart, because David, when he was confronted with sin and shown the truth of God's word, God's grace worked in his life to have him repent and get back on the straight and narrow way. We're going to make mistakes. We are not always going to be faithful in the way we communicate. Maybe you've already slipped up today on the way to church. But I encourage you that that's not the end of the story for the Christian. God says, hey, learn, repent, turn away from that. Don't pursue me. Get back into my word. See new truths to revive your soul. Come to my word. I will show you how to be blameless and to be faithful and to have wisdom. Oh, we need wisdom today, do we not? Sometimes wisdom may show us that the best thing to say is just not to say anything at the moment. That's hard, though, isn't it? Especially when someone's pressing you for a response and you say, you know what? Let me pray about it. Because right now I know in my heart, I don't have wisdom right now from God. They may laugh, they may mock, they may call you, I'll see you, you're just a coward. But you know, at the end of the day, you want to have a response that is acceptable in the sight of God and points them to the love of God. Oh, we need God's faithful word. But God's word is not only blameless and faithful, but as we come to verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We see that God's word is righteous. It is, when he says God, your word is right, it's the idea of righteous. It is without sin. It is righteous in its communication. You say, well, of course it is, because it's God's word. Yes, God is blameless. God is faithful. God is righteous. It only makes sense that his word is. So let's run to his word so that we can be like him, be godly in our communication. We want to make his word our foundation. Its righteousness causes, it says, the heart of the righteous to rejoice, rejoicing the heart. Thank God that he gives us his word to give us joy and something to rejoice in when we come to his word, to know that, okay, Lord, I trusted you today and it was not well received, but I come to your word and your righteousness rejoices my heart because I want to keep loving others through communication. Or it gives us the rejoicing we need when we enter into a difficult circumstance. God, I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to obey it. And because it's righteous, I will have rejoicing no matter how it's accepted. We got to move on. There's three others we want to look at briefly. We see that in verse 8 that God's word is pure in his communication. The next part of verse 8 says the commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. When we think of the purity of God's word, it means that is without any error. It is without anything wrong. One of the most wonderful things is to have, when I have the opportunity to officiate at a wedding, to see a bride and a groom who have kept themselves pure for one another, and to rejoice in the purity of this relationship, and to rejoice in this pure family that is coming together to begin a new family for the glory of God. It reminds us, it's a reflection, Paul even says, of the church, the pure church of God that Christ is coming to take home as he is the bridegroom. God says, my word is pure. You're not going to find a pure word anywhere other than God's word, because even the best of man's word will have mistakes, will have contradictions, will just have untruth, will have sin. Even in our own hearts, we will have a desire, and yet we will still at times be tempted to sin, or we are not perfect like God, and so we won't always say it well, but that's our goal. So that's why we need to read God's word every day, make it the foundation for our communication. I would encourage husbands and wives This is something I need to continue to meditate on. Sarah and I did this often at the beginning of our marriage. We need to continue doing it, but there are disagreements. It could be something simple as where you're going to go eat, but it could be something more significant that could have great impact on how we go forward as a family. Whenever there's a disagreement and it's starting to maybe get to the point where the communication is not becoming biblical or there is just frustration and anger, one of the best places to go is say, you know what? Let's pray. Let's go to God. Let's go to James chapter 1 and say, every good and perfect gift comes from above. He gives us wisdom. Let's go to Psalm 19. God, would you give the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts as we work through this, be accepted? God, would you give us wisdom through your perfect, blameless word? God's word has a way of helping us when we don't know what to say. Well, it's pure in its communication. It is the source. We see it enlightens the eyes. It is like a light that enlightens our eyes, or even as someone who is weak. And have you ever been so weak? And maybe you're working outside all day, maybe you didn't get the nutrition you needed, and you just feel faint, and your eyes even are just, ugh. And then you get that power bar. Or did any of you do the power energy drinks? I have not had one yet. I didn't see any hands. Maybe you didn't want to show your hand. But you know, we get something, and our eyes are enlightened. The picture here is of a light or a strengthening that comes. God's word, because it's pure, it is the source of pure, unfading light in the middle of a defiled, impure world. Oh, and let's make God's word a foundation for how we communicate, because it's pure. We want to have pure communication for the glory of God. Fifth, God's word is holy in its communication. You come to verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. God's word, it instructs us how to worship him, how to reverence him, how to have a right, worshipful awe of him. The fear of the Lord. And it endures forever. God's word is holy because he is holy. It is holy in its communication. It shows us how to honor him. It is an enduring source of cleansing for our sin-weary souls. It helps us fear him, and it's clean. It's clean. It's holy. It's not dirty, like sin makes things dirty. This is why Satan wants to do everything he can to make us doubt God's word. Remember back in the garden with Adam and Eve? What did he tempt them to do? And they, sadly, Adam and Eve bit into the temptation. Did God really say? And he caused Adam and Eve to doubt the good, pure, blameless, holy, faithful, righteous word of God. And he does that. He tempts us to do that every single day. Because he knows if we can doubt the word of God, then we will doubt the goodness of God. We will doubt the sufficiency of God. We maybe even could potentially, even though it's foolish, doubt the omnipresence of God. That God doesn't really care what we're going through. He's not with you when you go through this trial. Or he's not here with you when you sin. No. No, the antidote to all sin is the pure word of God. Oh, we need that more than ever. Our community needs Open Door Bible Church to really believe that God's word is true. And to believe that God's word is the only source of hope and life. And the way our community will know that Open Door Bible Church believes it is how we love God and love others through biblical communication. It starts here in our church family, but it cannot stay here. If it only stays here, then we failed. Because God says, go and be a light in the world. But we need to be communicating well. Lastly, we see here, we could spend much more time, but God's word is true. It kind of goes without saying, but it's true. If you look at verse 9, the end of verse 9, it says, the rules or the statutes of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. If you didn't get it, there's no part of God's word that is not true. Man, any one of these in of itself would be enough, but that he is true. So when he tells me, shows me in his word that I'm wrong, he's true. And when he shows me through his word that I am being faithful and obeying him, he's true. And when he says, no, don't go that way, or yes, go this way, or don't say that word, don't think that thought, don't think about that in your heart, he's true. He's not holding back anything from us. You know, one of the worst things is when someone is trying to give you advice or something, you know, you can sense that they're not giving you the whole story and they're setting you up for something. Sometimes that's a good thing, like a surprise maybe, but the worst thing is when someone says they're your friend, or they've got your back, then they stab you in the back. I'll tell you something, God loves you. He loves me. He is not untrue. So when he tells us no, it's not because he doesn't love us, it's because he loves us. He does not want to see you go down the wrong path. And when he says, I am with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, when he shows us through his word what is right and true and what we should focus on, it's not because at some point down the way he's going to drop the floor out from under us. It's because he's our sure foundation. God's word is true. It goes on to verse 10 to say, this word of God, looking back to all of this that we've said about God, it's his word is more desirable than gold. David knew what gold was about. And he knew that kings valued gold. Could do a lot for you. We value gold today too. Most of us don't have a lot, but or any. But David says, no, it's more precious than gold. More precious than anything. It tastes sweeter when you taste the goodness of God. When you see his word change you, it's sweeter than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. In David's day in the wilderness, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, savory stuff, but when you had a sweet honeycomb, oh, how sweet. How many of you had a honeycomb? You drink, eat the sweetness out of it. It is so good. It's so pure and rich, natural fruit. He says it's sweeter than that, it's sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb, and also God's word, verse 11, moreover by them your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward. So what does God's word do? Well, it's eternally able to justify, declare as righteous our communication. It shows us what is right. It helps us be righteous altogether. But also, David goes on to say, it is the most precious gift that God has given to man. God's spoken, written, and oh, by the way, he sent his son, the living word. God's word, he's made it so clear, both speaking his word and then giving us his written word and then sending his son, the living word. You think God loves us? You think he wants his word to be our foundation? It is the most precious gift that he could ever give, and he has given it to us. God's word warns us, David goes on to say, verse 11, and by them your servant is warned. It warns us against sinful communication. And it enables us to receive, and keeping this great reward, God's word enables us to receive God's future eternal reward and even present reward and blessing. So as we close this morning, this is just the beginning, just trying to impress upon us that we need God's word. We need his word to be the foundation. So as we go through this day, be in the word. He will help you know how to communicate well. But what about you? Is your communication blameless? Is it faithful? Is it righteous? Is your communication pure? Is it holy? Is it truthful? That's what God's word we just saw is. Is ours that way? Maybe we could boil it down to this. Is your communication biblical, godly, and Christ-like? Because you know when we look at the ministry of Christ, he fit all of that because he's God. He never said anything that was not true. He never said anything that was not right. But how about us? I think if we're honest, we'd say, yeah, there are times. There are times when that happens. I just praise God. But, oh yeah, I know. I struggle in a lot of these areas. Well, God knows that you do. So the question is this. Do you desire? Do I desire? Do we desire for our communication to be blameless, faithful, righteous, pure, holy, and truthful? Do we desire for our communication to be biblical, godly, and Christ-like? Well, then could I say this real quick before we're dismissed? Maybe you've heard this quote. Nothing changes if nothing changes. So what needs to change in my heart, in your heart, in our church family together heart, what needs to change so that we will pursue biblical, godly communication? I would say this as we close an application. One, we need to commit. Commit to making God's word be the foundation for our communication. And this is an ongoing daily reality. It's not that just one day we pray a prayer and we say, oh yes, Lord, I'm going to have your word be my foundation. We need to be active and obedient. And it takes work. You know why I think many times, we were talking about this in the men's Bible study a couple weeks ago, do you know in my own heart why I many times struggle to have biblical communication, or just to love God and love others, how he wants me to? You know why? because I'm lazy. We are a lazy people. Now, there's some things we're not lazy about. We'll find ways to get to work. We'll find ways to do other things. But when it comes to God's word, sadly, the church in America has grown very lazy at understanding how to love God and love others. We say, oh, well, we're going to go to church. I did my part. Well, that's praise God. But what are you doing during the week? Are you praying to God? Are you reading His word? And you know how we know, or I can see in my own life, that we're lazy? Because we're not doing what God called us to do. People have an opportunity to grow, but they say, well, I'll do it the next day, or I'll do it the other day. I have an opportunity to read the word. Oh, I'll do it some other time. And then a week goes by, and, oh, that's okay, I'm coming to church, so I'll hear some word on Sunday. And then we wonder why we struggle in our relationships. Every good relationship is based on communication. If we don't have good communication with our Father through His word, how can we expect to have good communication in our own lives? Commit. Make a decision. Nothing happens if nothing happens. Commit today, perhaps, anew. Commit to making God's word the foundation for your communication. Secondly, repent. Repent doesn't mean saying, I'm sorry. I think we understand that. Repent means turn the other way, go the other direction. So as we commit, God, I want to commit to you. I understand that my communication has not been right, perhaps, in this way. So God, I want it to go the right way. So repent of allowing anything other than God's word to be the foundation for your communication. One of the easiest things I see today, for those of us who may be online or other things, is to let social media be the foundation for our communication. It's so easy to start seeing people comment this, comment that, comment this, comment that. You know what? I'm going to get in that fray. And we start, and what are we doing? We're letting unbiblical communication in that, perhaps, context show us how we should. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people ticked over this thing with politics. There's a lot of people ticked over this thing here. A lot of people complaining about this thing in the township. There's a lot of people, you know what? I'm going to join in that because I want to be a part of that. And what have we done? Yeah, we become part of it. We've communicated unbiblically. Social media, be careful. But anything, what is the foundation for communication? It must be God's word, and we need to repent of that. But thirdly, I would just say, may we commit to not just making God's word our foundation, but maintaining it. I'm so thankful for, I didn't know I was going to do this, but thankful for Nadine and Cindy coming yesterday to help with the weeding. You know, we have a property, and I'm thankful for everyone who helps with this property. But they're out there yesterday pulling weeds, and it looks great out there. And what are they doing? They're helping maintain the facility that God's given us. We understand that. We maintain things that are precious to us or that are important. Hopefully, we maintain our health. Why'd we go to the doctor? To hopefully maintain our health. We maintain a lot of things, our finances. People are checking their 401k like crazy these days, perhaps. And they're all, oh, we maintain a lot of things because they're important to us. But what do we do about maintaining God's word? Because that should be the most important. More precious than gold. More precious than the sweetest food available. Commit to maintaining God's word as a foundation. How do I do that? Well, it starts with deciding that you want to change, that we need help. We all do. This isn't ganging up on any one person. I don't have even anyone in mind here. I'm thinking of my own heart. But I know that God's word here is saying that we need to commit to maintaining His word as the foundation for our communication. I would say, how do we begin? By asking. Even this morning before the service ends, in a moment we'll pray, ask God to help you love Him and His word more and more each day. And could I encourage you? That is a prayer that God delights to answer. There is not a greater prayer from a Christian that God delights to answer than saying, God, would you help me to love you with my heart more and more? Help me love your word more and more. Help me maintain your word as my foundation in life. Help me to make the decision to want to let your word guide me. Help me, God, because I struggle. You know what God does? He'll answer that prayer, I guarantee you. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, which you know not. I wonder if some of us are held back in the spiritual fruit that God wants to see in our life because we just haven't really made that decision in our life to really go hard after Christ. I pray that that's not true. So may we make God's word the foundation for loving Him and loving others as we communicate. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace to us. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, that you have so clearly and graciously and repeated over and over your love for us through your word. Lord, I do pray that you will help us to not resort to the lazier, lesser forms of communication that do not please you. God, I pray you'd help us to learn well how to make your word our sure, strong, faithful, blameless, pure, holy, righteous foundation. May truly the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, the communication that we show and say, may it truly be pleasing in your sight. Father, we thank you that if it's pleasing in your sight, that, Father, it will be used for your glory. Father, please strengthen our families. Help husbands and wives who struggle to communicate well. Help children who struggle to communicate well with their parents or their other authorities or teachers. Help us as church members, as Open Door Bible Church, where we struggle to communicate, where we struggle to show kindness and love. Father, would that not be an ongoing reality? Would that be a change that we are willing to make? And we see your Spirit changing in us through your word, through your Spirit, through your grace. We thank you that you promised to do that if we'll trust and obey your word. Father, thank you for the attentiveness of everyone here. I pray that the words of our mouths, the meditation of our hearts, will be acceptable in your sight. We ask these things in the name of our rock, our Redeemer, our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.